You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm. We go back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline here on this loaded Monday, and we are joined by Eric Hedholm, who covers the NFL for Yahoo. Eric, welcome to the show.
What's going on?
Not too much. First of all, let's start with Johnny Manziel, your take on his ascension to the starting quarterback role, and, of course, your reaction to the pictures that were put out today about his time over the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, one of the biggest things that the Browns had to be sure of before they committed to him was there going to be a suspension? You know, was there going to be some concern about, you know, missing a game, having to sort of bounce back and forth between, you know, he and McCown? And, you know, that's obviously the biggest thing right there, was that they wanted to know that there was nothing standing in the way. But, yeah, I mean, hearing Manziel volunteering at a food bank or whatever, I mean, that's obviously a good thing. I think he's slowly learning that, you know, public image is super important in this league, whether it's fair or not. And, you know, we put these guys under the microscope and see what, you know, what kind of people they are. And it's not always the complete picture, but, you know, these narratives can last a long time. So obviously I think that's a good step in the right direction. Unless there was something else that I was missing, I think that that kind of helped them.
And Eric, are you under the assumption and the way of thinking that not only are professional athletes and NFL players in particular held to a higher standard, but even more so the quarterback position is held to a higher standard because of the role that they play for the team and the leader on the team in most cases?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not even, and not every quarterback is a natural born leader. Not, you know, even if you are the guy who's commanding the huddle and out there with the ball in your hands on every snap offensively and all that stuff, but you're expected to be some sort of a figurehead, right? I mean, you're still going to be the guy that everybody starts with. Can they win? Let's start with the quarterback position. You know, is there trouble with the quarterback that leaks down to the rest of the roster? Can the head coach quarterback relationship thrive? That's always going to be a huge talking point. I think there's validity to it on some degree. But, yeah, I mean, I obviously think that they are held to a higher standard based on, you know, even a high profile like a Joe Thomas. Nobody talks about, you know, with that sort of, you know, caliber of concern with him, even though he's been a model citizen and above and beyond. So, yeah, that's where you start with the quarterback spot. And then obviously all the responsibility that comes with it, which is just incredible when you think about everything that's on these guys' plates.
Talking with Eric Hedholm from Yahoo. Eric, if you were the Browns, what would Johnny Manziel have to show you over the final six games of this season that would make you feel comfortable headed into the next draft that quarterback was something you could cross off of your list?
Right. I mean, especially heading into a game against the Ravens, which could come down, you know, a key decision for you know, key deciding points who gets the number one pick. Or if you're in the top five and you have a chance to draft one of those guys, you probably want to see more than anything consistency and not wild variation from series to series, from game to game, you know, even from snap to snap. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. Coming off a game against Pittsburgh, probably, I'm curious to hear what you guys think, but probably the best pure passing performance of his career, not just statistically, but in terms of confidence, making throws that we didn't know he could make before. You know, using his legs the right way to generate offense and move around the pocket and such. So there's a scouting report out of him out there. He's got to go ahead and beat that. You know, teams are trying to cup him in, prevent his movement skills a little bit, have him make throws from the pocket, getting the ball over offensive linemen who are you know, 6, 7, 8 inches taller than him.
Eric, as you look at the Browns, they sit at 2-8 coming off the bye, as you mentioned, the Monday nighter against another bad, struggling football team in the 2015 season in the Baltimore Ravens. But when you look at the Browns, what's the biggest inefficiency, or what can you put your finger on that's led them down the road to becoming 2-8?
Well, the run defense has been so bad. I mean, that's obviously, you think about some of the investments they've made, and they've been up the middle of the defense, so that's a real concern. I mean, you know, another team-building, you know, aspect that hasn't come to fruition, that hasn't really panned out the way they expected. So, you know, this league is cyclical, and I think we're starting to round back into a league that it is important to run the football. There was a time starting in 2011 when all you needed was to throw the football, and teams were ignoring the run more than they ever were in history. So we're getting back, I think, to more balance and to have a good rushing attack, and being able to stop that first, make teams more one-dimensional, plays into you know, the sort of what the league aspect is right now that I think has really risen up the last year and is becoming more of a thing. So, that's something they've got to clean up. And I don't know exactly how they do it, but it's going to require, you know, multiple players and perhaps a little bit of a scheme adjustment to make it happen.
Eric, when you look at this Browns team, we have to ask all the national people, what are you hearing about the coaching job, Mike Pettine, and, of course, general manager Ray Farmer? Are they on the hot seat, or are you hearing that they seem to be safe? What's kind of the word out there?
It's been a little quiet the last few weeks. You haven't really heard much buzz, and I haven't talked to the Browns specifically in the last, let's say, 3 weeks or so. But, you know, even talking to other teams, they're aware of what's going on. People have friends in other organizations. They talk. It's a sewing circle, right? So you're going to hear some chatter about that type of thing. You know, using Les Miles as an example, we started hearing this talk 3 weeks ago, you know, and those things tend to bubble up over time. In the NFL, though, I haven't really heard much lately on this. And I think there is sort of a sense that maybe ownership is a little bit unsure of what their next move is, that it could be Farmer gone, it could be Pettine gone, it could be both coming back. So I think all options are on the table. Let's see what happens over these next six games and what direction they end up going. It's going to be fascinating. I think they probably deserve another chance unless things completely fall apart these next six games. If Manziel is a complete disaster, then you have a coaching problem and you have a personnel problem. So it wouldn't stun me any of the possibilities, as vague as that answer is.
Eric, last question for me is, and diving into this Cleveland Browns roster at 2-8, and we hand them out regularly on a week-to-week basis. We did so through the bye week. Although it's a 2-8 football team, if you had to get an offensive and defensive game ball or MVP through 10 football games on a bad football team, I know, I get it. Who would receive those game balls from you from a national perspective?
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, obviously, it's not like there's been, you know, that one performer, I think, who's been so exceptional. I mean, that, you know, you just sort of look at the team right now and you say, you know, what can they really hang their hat on? The fact that they were willing to possibly trade Joe Thomas, who was sort of widely viewed as their, you know, their linchpin up front, their anchor, if you will, left tackle, you know, tells me it's a little bit tricky right now. Thomas has been good. I would say most of the offensive line has been good. Maybe Joel Paterno has taken a little step back. I would guess Thomas gets my offensive MVP. I know Duke Johnson's had some nice moments. He's been a little banged up as well. I mean, defensively, I'm probably saying that I think Tremont Williams has held up pretty well. He's been actually a pretty good addition. And just kind of looking and scanning over their roster, it's not like there's a ton to get excited about on that side of the ball. I haven't seen enough out of Danny Shelton yet to think, okay, that was a great move, even though I thought there was some value to it, thought it made some sense. You know, I would probably go Tremont Williams, I guess.
Yeah, Tremont Williams certainly started off hot. He struggled a little bit as of late, and that's kind of been the challenge we've had. You know, Gary Barnage on offense has exceeded expectations defensively. It's hard to find anybody that succeeded or even met the expectations for this Cleveland Browns team through the first 10 games of the year. As you look at the NFL and look at this division, the AFC North, and I want you to kind of project out for me a couple of years, what do the Browns have an opportunity to kind of move up here? It seems the Ravens, obviously having a down year, just ravaged by injuries. They come to town Monday. Cincy seems very solid, and the Steelers just seem to find a way to adapt, evolve, and reload every single year.
Yeah, let's start with the Steelers. I mean, I still think Ben Roethlisberger has a few years left in his prime. They've been ravaged by injuries, and yet, you know, Ben has done his best job when healthy to be able to hang in there, and Le'Veon Bell will be back. It's a tough knee injury to come back from, but he'll be great again at some point. You know, Antonio Brown isn't going anywhere, so if they keep that triumvirate together, that's going to be a tough one to beat. And, you know, I know they're a little up and down defensively, but, you know, they still seem to have the most solid foundation right now. Cincinnati Bengals have talent up and down the roster. They're going to be a team to reckon with, I think, for the next few years. And it's going to be fascinating to see if they can build on this season and how far they go this year, for that matter. So, I mean, those two teams, I think, are in good shape. I will say this. I did talk to the Ravens a few weeks ago, and they quietly feel like next year could be a bounce-back year. And if Flacco's knee, again, this is what I talked to before Flacco got hurt yesterday, but if he's back for the start of the season, that helps you. That's huge. That's your guy. They may end up speeding up their timetable for drafting a replacement, but they think they might be able to talk Steve Smith into coming back. They think Rashad Perryman can help out next season. They're going to have a top five or six draft pick, maybe number one overall. Get a pass rusher. Get some secondary help. you know, and get some good luck as far as some of these injury rehabs are concerned. I will say their confidence was pretty high for a team. If they've lost a lot of close games, they feel like one or two plays go their way. You know, they could be 6-4 at this point.
Absolutely. Talk with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. Eric, what's been the biggest surprise to you this NFL season, just league-wide in general? Positive, negative, both, either way?
Well, we've seen some teams sort of come back from the ashes here, and all of a sudden Tampa Bay, Houston, Kansas City, I mean, teams that we kind of left for dead, are now in contention. And I think the Dallas Cowboys might be the next team that really rises up. I know they have a tough one on Thursday.
Absolutely.
With the Panthers, but don't count them out. They're two games out. The Giants are by no means in an insurmountable position. So it's going to be the tale of two seasons, I think. You know, the first half of the year, we saw one sort of set of things happen. The second half of the season, and we're sort of into it now, could turn the tables a little bit. I still think teams like the Patriots and Panthers and Bengals and Cardinals are all going to be competitive. You know, I think the Packers aren't necessarily back, but they're going to be in it. But there could be three or four teams that really kind of upset the apple cart a little bit here.
Right now, your Super Bowl prediction.
Well, a couple weeks ago, we did our midseason picks, and we got the chance to redo our choices. And I'm sure you guys could search on the internet and find out who I picked in the preseason. Didn't go quite as it hasn't gone quite as well as I'd hoped. But my revised prediction was Cardinals and Bengals, and we saw them play last night. We saw them play maybe one of their two or three best regular season games of the season. Both clearly, you know, in that group of best teams in the NFL, 4, 5, 6 teams, however deep you want to make it. So I'm all right with that right now. Obviously, the Patriots have something to say about that. Carolina hasn't lost the game yet. Dallas, I'm telling you, I might be nuts for saying it.
No, I like Dallas, too.
I think they're going to have a say in this thing. I really do with Romo back.
So you think Cincy can get past the Patriots? It seems to me the Patriots are in the AFC just in a class all to themselves.
Yeah, and right. I mean, obviously, losing Edelman and Deion Lewis and then having some injuries on offensive line and defense, they've been able to adjust. And nobody adjusts and answer issues better than the Patriots. They just have done it consistently year in and year out. They'll change their identity if they need to. You know, Cincinnati, I think we have to throw out their past playoff failures. I think they have a chance, but they'll probably have to go to Foxborough to do it. So can they go on the road and thrive in tough environments? I mean, it could be snowy. It could be a raucous crowd there. Andy Dalton so far hasn't proven himself in the postseason. So a few issues they have to overcome for sure.
Eric, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate the insights as always.
All right, talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
All right, that was Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with our final thoughts here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.